Shall hit the big fat record button, and away we go.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 91, recorded Wednesday, December 4th, 2013. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where myself and my friends gather to talk about the geeky stuff that we're into. We gravitate to sci-fi fantasy stuff, but we'll talk about anything from movies, television, books, apps, websites. Whatever toots our horn, we will let you know. We're also going to let you know if it sucks rocks, too, so that's always fun. Joining me this week with the ever-present chuckle is Mr. Joel Kane. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. It's good to be here again.
Always fun to have you on the show. You always have some really interesting picks to share, and I'm looking
glad
forward
to hear it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying to, over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be using this show as fodder for my Christmas list for friends and family. It's like, oh, that's a really cool book. Write that down. I know someone that'll like that for Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah, so
that's a pretty good idea, actually.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. I've had a couple of friends recently tweet out some things that were on sale, you know, Amazon, that kind of stuff. I unfortunately didn't take advantage of any of the Black Friday sales, but I did write a few things down because I don't think they were really on sale, or if they were, it wasn't that big of a deal because I wasn't spending more than $75 or something to save all the big right. Make all the big savings. So I'll pick those up at a little bit of a later date. So are you traveling for the holidays? Are you around? What's the deal
For Christmas? Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the Monday before Christmas off because my office is closed Christmas Eve and Christmas Day anyway.
Mm.
So I'm hoping to get the Monday off so I can go with my dad and sister and some of our other family down to North Carolina where our grandparents live.
Oh, cool.
And actually, I can't remember if we're going to my grandparents' house or my aunt and uncle's house, but either way, they're both in North Carolina. So,
very, very cool.
Yeah.
So do you mind if I ask how old your grandparents are?
Now that you put me on the spot, I have no idea.
Ballpark. 75, 80?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Somewhere
yeah.
in there? Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. My grandparents passed away quite a while ago. They were quite old, so lived full lives, that sort of thing.
It's still never easy, though.
No, but I mean, God, if they were alive today, they'd be like 103. It's really, my parents had me late, and then their parents were also old. So my grandparents were in their 70s and 80s when I was like in high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was, and that was like 20 years ago. So, so it's been a while for that. But do you guys generally have a big group at the holidays? Like,
Yeah, my dad's family is actually both sides of the family are more or less equal size. My mom's side probably has a little bit more, but they're more scattered. Hmm. So I don't really see them often. In fact, there's several cousins who I haven't seen since I was like 9 years old or
Wow.
So, yeah, I see a lot more of my dad's family, and there's usually a pretty good group. My aunt and uncle were foster parents, and then they adopted all six of the foster kids they had. So that alone is a pretty big, pretty big group of people right there.
Yeah, yeah, it adds up really fast.
Yeah, definitely
really fast. I've mentioned before in the show, Joss and I are traveling home to Toronto, and she's got quite a few. You know, by the time you add in, like, you know, her boyfriend, and then her brother Greg has got a girlfriend now, and then there's, like, you know, a grandmother is still alive, and some aunts and uncles, and some people that are just kind of in the area that might stop by, and we get up to, like, you know, 9 or 11 around the dinner table pretty fast.
Yeah, definitely. Once the kids start dating, all bets are off.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
So what have you been up to since the last time you're on the show?
Lots of Warcraft. My buddy and I bought a Minecraft server. There's like a money-back guarantee, so we figured out, what the heck, might as well try it out.
I've always wanted to try. I loved Lego when I was a kid, and I've always wanted to try Minecraft.
It's very similar to Lego, except you go and gather everything yourself. You don't just buy a big chunk of blocks or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen some free-reign servers. Like Frog Pants has a server.
Yeah, there is creative mode, which is you just get access to everything and you can do whatever you want and you can fly around and stuff. There's basically much fewer rules as far as what you can do. But I prefer survival mode personally.
Yeah, well, I mean, because you've got to, you know, survive the night from the creepers. And
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I've seen some YouTube videos of some people that do this kind of stuff. It seems like a fun thing to get into. Jocelyn and I were thinking about it, but then the cost of a server and everything else just kind of like, whatever. All the bar to entry and the trouble it takes to set up your own thing.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern. Although with you two being in the same apartment, you can play locally over the same network without setting up a server or anything. Hmm. Just one of you has to host the world. So if you host the world and then you're not home and she wants to play, then she either has to start up your computer or just do her own thing on her separate world. So
right.
It's doable, just not quite as convenient.
Yeah, I think she wanted to do something along like a Gamers In community thing.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So, and I mean, and Ryan's got a server or access to a server. So, I mean, they've talked about it, but I think that there's just too many games. You kind of have to pick and choose what you want to put your time into.
That's definitely true. I know that feeling so well.
Yeah, and I might have an opportunity. I mean, I don't know what I can and can't say, but there is a chance that I might get in on some beta testing this weekend. I'm not going to say what game because I don't want to. I haven't read the NDA from top to bottom yet, so I don't know what I can and can't say about it.
Well, I've got a pretty good idea.
Yeah, but if I can get in, I'm really looking forward to it. It should be fun.
Yeah, if it's the game I'm thinking of, it's going to be pretty cool. So
yeah, I think so. And there's been the thing is that there are several games that I've been following in beta. Like I don't talk about everything on the show because we don't really get into video games that much.
Right.
But like Jocelyn has a couple titles that she's curious about, and I've got a couple titles that I'm curious about. Both of them are in closed beta, or all of them are closed beta, and they're starting to hit, like, you know, people are on Christmas vacation now and they're starting to kind of grab people and start to do some testing. So we're hoping to maybe snag some time before we go back to Toronto for the holidays, because we're going to be in TO for 2 weeks, and with just my MacBook with us, gaming will not be... unless it's on the iPad, it's probably not going to be happening.
Yeah, not really ideal.
No. So that's what's going to be happening for me. I hope this weekend, possibly next, depending on which game decides to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about that. The other thing that I'm looking forward to is a holiday party. Jocelyn and I are having some people over to trim our tree on Saturday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. It's we bought the tree last year. It was a really good deal on a fake tree. And I've never minded, you know, decorating a tree, but I have to say, these trees that come with the lights already on them, they make it a lot easier.
Oh, yes, they do.
You know, like I never minded it when I did it for my mom and, you know, put the lights on the real tree, but this is a lot easier.
Definitely. Yeah, my mom's household does the same thing now.
Yeah. And I used to be pretty, I don't want to say snobby, but I used to not like fake trees. I am now in an apartment building that only allows fake trees. So I don't have a choice.
Right.
But also in the last, I want to say 5 to 10 years, fake trees have gotten a lot better at looking pretty real.
Yeah, they have. They're not too bad anymore.
You know, like, they don't smell like a real tree, but that's what candles are for, I guess. but they, like, they've done a pretty good job of you know, having branches kind of helter-skelter and not really, you know, all in a row. When we were kids, my mom had a fake tree, and it was really fake. Like, plastic bark-looking, really, really fake-looking tree. So we'll have some fun.
Everything's in its own line.
Yeah, precisely. We'll have some fun this weekend decorating that. So it should be a good time. Cool. Speaking of the holidays, actually, just remind everybody that on December, 2 weeks from today, so December 18th, which is a Wednesday evening, as per usual, will be the Citadel Cafe Christmas holiday special. If you would like to drop us a line, it's thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. And voice your yay or nay as to whether you'd like to be on the show, then you're more than welcome. We'll have probably a number of rotating guests and listeners stopping by to say hello. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to talk about. We might just kind of leave it up in the air and see what kind of what candy hits the slope, as it were. But I'm looking forward to it. It's always a good time. So if
sing
you're
some
out,
Christmas carols.
Yeah. Well, no. No, you can sing some Christmas carols. Maybe tell everybody what your favorite Christmas carol is. But and if you're available, of course, you're welcome to come. Same thing goes for Matt, Matt Britton. So if you're out there listening, Matt, let me know if you're off. Although I know he works retail, so being off near Christmas might be.
Yeah, his schedule's pretty weird as it is.
Yeah,
with the holiday coming up
might be unheard of, but hey, you know, it's it is what it is.
I'll get with him, see what he says.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, that about does it for me for updates. What have you been watching this week, sir?
I watched a movie a couple nights ago called Oblivion. Probably everybody's heard of it.
Is this the one with
Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise, Morgan Freeman.
Yep, that's
ooh,
the one.
Ooh.
It's I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
I don't know what kind of reviews it got on Rotten Tomatoes or anything like that, but I really enjoyed it. It was movies these days pretty much all follow the same formula, you know, with the beginning, middle, and end all feeling more or less similar if you just break it out into their separate parts.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie did it right, in my opinion. It was a lot of fun. I don't want to tell too much about the story because the story is most of the movie is very important to it.
Right.
But the basic premise is that there was a big battle with some aliens, and now Tom Cruise is one of the repairmen who is guarding the pumps that are pumping water out for some sort of science fiction process to extract nuclear energy out of the water. So mankind is like moving off planet because they won the war, but the planet was ruined. So that's kind of the basic premise.
Right.
And yeah.
I will watch Morgan Freeman in just about anything.
I know. He's really good.
Yeah. How's the acting? Because I find Tom Cruise kind of a one-note soldier.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I thought Tom Cruise did a good job. Morgan Freeman doesn't actually show up as much as you expect from the preview.
Mm.
But he's obviously really good. Most of the movie focuses on Tom Cruise. Like, he's on the camera for probably 90% of the film.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you... Doesn't he... Oh, no, he didn't. I'm looking at the... He didn't direct it. Did he produce it? Because that's usually the problem.
Oh, really?
He usually is in there, producing his own stuff, which means that he's usually on camera a lot.
Yeah, that makes sense. But no, yeah. I thought he did a pretty good job. I mean, I to be honest, I didn't pay too much attention to his acting because the way I watch movies is I put myself in place of the main character.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't paying as much attention to him as I probably should have. I was more paying attention to what was happening to him and how I would react and like, oh, I agree with that decision, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I like post-apocalyptic stuff too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, and from what I could tell from the trailer, the, you know, the art direction and the CG and stuff like that looked really interesting.
Yeah, the effects were phenomenal. I never got pulled out by any sort of suspension of disbelief problems.
Cool.
So, I mean, aside from the fact that it's, you know, set in the future. But
well, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm looking down the list. He did not produce or executive produce.
Just starred, huh?
Interesting. He just starred. Maybe he's learned his lesson. Because, I don't know. It's hard when, you know, stars like Tom Cruise or Mel Gibson get out there and they do crazy stuff. I have a really difficult time separating that.
Yeah.
When the way that they act in movies is not terribly far from how they act in real life.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You know, like I feel like I'm trying to think of a good example of someone that's very broad as an actor. Say Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
You know, like he you know, obviously he has a certain type of character he plays recently because of his age. You know, he can do a Southern accent. He can do really creepy. He can do, you know, really intelligent. He can do soft-spoken. Like, I find like he can do a lot of different things. Whereas I feel like Tom Cruise is just always like 110% intense in every movie he's in.
Yeah. I could see that.
You know,
now
like
that you say that.
There's nothing subtle about him.
Yeah,
in
that's
that,
true.
In that way. I mean, I get to each their own, and he's probably a better actor than I am. So, I mean, I can't, you know, between the two of us, one of us is a millionaire. It's not me.
Right.
You know? Right. So, I mean, I understand that there's a certain limitation. Like, for example, I like Tom Hanks quite a bit. And he doesn't differ greatly from role to role, but he can. Like, he can do some different things. Same with, we both agreed that Morgan Freeman is a good actor. I don't know that he has a broad range.
Now, he's always the very serious, either very arch somber. Villain or super good guy. He's there's not much middle ground for him, it seems.
Yeah, like I I'll watch him in anything, but that's just because I find him appealing.
Yeah.
You know, so there is that.
You know, somebody that I always say has a really good range as an actor, but everybody looks at me like I'm crazy, is Tommy Lee Jones, believe it or not. Most of the movies he's in, he's you know, the a-hole comedy kind of guy, you know, Men in Black and movies like that. That's pretty much his character and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a movie called Blown Away in the late 90s, I think, where he played an Irish terrorist, and he was absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
Like, I did not see that coming at all. I saw Tommy Lee Jones, and I was like, oh, he's going to be the funny guy. But no, he was the bad guy, and he was phenomenal the whole movie.
Cool. Blown Away. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid movie.
Yeah. Mike O'Dandy in the chat room reminded me of a very good actor that has a very wide breadth of talent, and that's Gary Oldman. And he's right. Good example. Good example. I remember seeing him in the Batman films as Commissioner Gordon. And then you realize, wait a minute, okay, this is Dracula. This is... I can't remember the name of the character he plays in Harry Potter, but like he is all over the place. He's in the new RoboCop movie.
Oh, he's Sirius Black in Harry Potter.
Sirius Black, that's what it is. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, now he's got quite a range. And a lot of times, I mean, he's British, if I'm not mistaken.
Is he really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and that seems to be a thing a lot when you find someone that's really good. They're often not American.
Yeah.
If you really, I wonder how much of it is, you know, like that study and that intensity that it takes to put on American accent and make it believable, whether that makes their delivery, their cadence a little slower.
It could be. Makes them seem a little more intense.
A little bit more focused. I don't know. Well, for example, I watched Man of Steel on Blu-ray just last night, and Henry Cavill, who plays Clark Kent, Superman, is British, and you would never know in this film.
Really?
If you hadn't seen him in anything else, you'd never know that this guy was British.
Okay.
I mean, he doesn't have like a thick Cockney accent or anything like that, but he's certainly in interviews. He's his regular speaking voice is from, you know, very English.
Yeah.
And, man, like I've talked about this on the show before, so I won't get into too much about the movie itself, but I forgot how much I liked this film. And I was reminded very quickly when I sat down to watch it on Blu-ray. Because true to form of a lot of things, especially big action movies like this in theater, is that on Blu-ray, it's a lot easier to see what's happening. Because my screen is only 46 inches, as opposed to the size of a football field. there's a lot of handicam stuff, like handheld camera work in the first part of the movie, and I did not like it in the theater, and it didn't translate well either to the home theater, which was disappointing, because I was hoping that might be a little bit crisper and not so all over the place.
Yeah.
But man, they really get you into the story quick with the stuff that happens on Krypton. They keep things rolling. They, you know, heavy action from like the middle of the film on. Surprised to hear after I tweeted out last night that I was watching, because it was an early Christmas gift from my father. And so I took a picture of the case and said, hey, I'm watching Man of Steel. And Chad, former co-host of the show, said he fell asleep halfway through.
Really?
And I didn't know what to say to that. We were turning it down because we didn't want to wake the neighbors. You know, we were watching it at like 8 o'clock at night. It's not like it was crazy, you know, crazy late at night. It wasn't disrespectful, but like, you know, a spaceship comes in and like the coffee table shakes. I'm just like, how did you fall asleep in this movie? Like, that's something my mother would do.
You're talking purely practical sense, not even from the sense of how good the movie is.
Yeah, really though. So... I mean, now, granted, he probably would not have been watching it very loud, because as we all know, Chad is a father, and he has his daughter's only about one, so that could be it. He might also just be tired from chasing a one-year-old around, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that it was not the kryptonite in the Blu-ray that was lulling him to sleep so much as it was just being tired in general. But yeah, like I really enjoyed how the Blu-ray, whatever they've done in the recent years, Blu-rays seem to be getting a lot better. There was no blurriness, there was no artifacting. I have yet to even update my Blu-ray player firmware, which I know needs it, but there's some older discs that repeatedly have problems, like the Batman films have some serious issues with the dark areas and stuff like that. And this was...
Did they really?
Yeah, this was beautiful.
So is that an actual, like, burning it onto the disc sort of technology improvement?
It is a problem with the codec on discs. Like, I feel like someone tweeted at me one time and explained it to me. One of the nerdier people in the Frog Pants chat room one time. Okay. And they found a story, and it really was like there's a certain number of these Dark Knight Returns discs, and it was just... There's nothing you can do. You're kind of stuck. It's like the perfect combination of like this disc, your DVD, your Blu-ray player, and your television. And depending on what your setup is, this particular disc, the way that it's encoded, it's a nightmare.
That's pretty big bummer for a technology that's become so pervasive.
Well, yeah, it really has. And I mean, like we watched a lot of movies recently in HD, like streaming off of iTunes, and they look great.
Yeah, they do.
So, I mean, obviously, the physical media Blu-ray thing is kind of going away. I find that the sound mix on Blu-ray is superior to anything streaming right now.
Yeah, definitely. They downgrade the audio to make it so the video can be slightly better.
Yeah, because, I mean, we watched, what was that cartoon? Rise of the Guardians a few weeks ago. And the sound mix on that was terrible. Now, granted, that was Netflix. That wasn't renting it on iTunes. So I'll have to pay attention the next time I rent like an action movie on iTunes and see what the surround is like. But I also, I mean, like I've got HDMI going from the Apple TV to the television, but from the television to my amp, it's digital coax. So it's not as clean as an HDMI signal would be because my...
it's not the fiber sound, it's the coax version.
Oh, is it coax? No, coax is what I've got going to my amp. My amp is old, so I don't have HDMI plugs in the amp.
Right.
And I have, what's it called? It's a digital optical cable.
It is the optical.
It's optical, but it's not the same. Like it goes from the TV, so it's not like I go right from, like the DVD player has a direct line into the amp, and I don't remember what I'm using for that.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail into technical talk. I nerd out about that.
No, it's fine. Me too. So I can't remember what cord I have going from the DVD player into the amp, but I feel as though it's a proper.
It's probably the optical. That's been the standard for quite a while.
Yeah, I think it's the optical, and then the same thing. No, because I only have one optical input. So I think I've got coax from the DVD player, and then I've got optical from the television. Because the reason why we have optical from the TV is because both the Xbox and the Apple TV send their HDMI signals into the television. So they get the audio over the speakers I need to use from the optical from the TV to the amp. Anyway, long story short, I need a new amp. I need to HDMI all the things so that it's a lot simpler. I do find that when I'm watching movies like Dark Knight, Avengers, you know, Superman, the sound, and I've got 5.1 surround at home, so the surround sound is way better than if I'm streaming or watching something that I've downloaded. It's much better on that. So I will always prefer my bigger blockbuster movies and things like CG animated movies like Pixar's Brave and stuff like that. Like I cannot get over how good CG looks on Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's really incredible.
Yeah, especially if you're into something like Coraline, like the stop motion animations. Man, do they ever look nice.
So. Yeah, it makes me wish I had a Blu-ray player, honestly. Every time I watch a movie on one, I'm just like, oh, what am I doing with my life?
Well, I mean, hey, there's all the more reason to get a PS4.
All right, slight video game talk again. I'm leaning towards not getting a next-gen console again. I said originally, and then I was like, all right, I'm going to get one because there's so many good games. And then I found out most of the awesome games are also going to be on PC. And I'm like, well, I think I'd rather just upgrade my video card and stick with the PC gaming. It's just so much more flexible. You know?
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I know that Jocelyn is not interested at all in the next gen. She actually wants to go get a really cheap PS3.
Once
they start dropping in price, she's hoping to get, like, you know, a couple of games. And in the long run, all the PS3 games are going to start going really cheap.
Oh, definitely.
So there's going to be a lot of titles that, you know, she'd be interested in.
It might be a little longer than you think, though, before the price drops a whole bunch, because they plan on having that console around for another few years.
Yeah. Yeah, I can sort of see that. God, you can buy used games from, for Xbox right now, current gen. And, I mean, stuff that came out a couple months ago, and you can buy it for $20.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Used. I mean, not new, but.
Yeah. Were they really crappy games?
yeah, Halo 4.
Oh, you did not say that.
I did. Deal with it.
Oh.
I didn't even play it. I just watched it, and it was bad.
Well, next time I see you, might not be so friendly a visit.
Oh, them's fighting words, I guess.
I've always been a Halo fanboy, more by default at this point than by actual love for the games. After Halo 3, they've kind of gone downhill for me.
Mm. Yeah, I played Halo, I think it was the re-release of Halo 1, and most of that was multiplayer. I enjoyed it, it was fun, but the story stuff that Joss and I played, I was like, whatever, it's another room full of guys. Like, it wasn't really my cup of tea. I'm really enjoying Borderlands for like a first-person shooter experience.
Oh, definitely.
I'm playing
It's got that kind of Diablo feel to it where all the loot's random and stuff.
Yeah, I'm playing Borderlands 2 with Paul Swickard and Ryan Murphy from
cool.
Gamers In and Sleeping with the Elephant podcast, and they're a lot of fun, and we play kind of like Friday nights after the Gamers In sometimes, and that's been enjoyable for, you know, kind of the end of the week, couple hours sort of first person shooter thing.
It's a great group game.
Actually, and Joe Wright, I think, might be joining us at some point in the near future too, so that'll be fun.
Cool.
Yeah. So I guess to wrap up my Man of Steel Blu-ray talk, we got derailed a little bit. Are you interested in what's happening with the Batman Superman movie? Like, did you see Man of Steel?
I have not seen Man of Steel yet.
Okay. So
it's definitely on my list for one of these days.
Right. So
I keep getting sidetracked by other movies like Oblivion. I'm like, oh, I think I'd rather watch this instead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the same director, same actor, like same sort of production, looks like it's going to happen in the next movie, but Batman is going to be in it, and I'm drawing a blank on his name. Ben Affleck. Batfleck.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to be playing Batman. And they just announced Wonder Woman today. And unfortunately, I'm trying to remember her name. I should have done all this before the show. And she's basically a skinny supermodel. Really disappointing. I was hoping they were going to get some people that were tossed around. Gal Gadot is her name. GALGADOT is going to be the person cast as Wonder Woman. I mean, she's attractive, but she does not, to me, scream Wonder Woman. The person or the actor that I was really looking for, which is, I'm not sure if he came up with it, but the first time I heard of it was Tom Racine, a friend of mine that does a Tall Tale Radio podcast about comics and stuff like that. He suggested that the lady from Thor, she plays Sif. Jamie Alexander should have been cast.
I think she would have been pretty good.
Yeah, she's the dark-haired one that kicks butt in Asgard. She would have been really, really good for it, too. But, we'll see. You never know. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a huge role. I feel like it's going to be like a cameo, maybe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they might not stick with her. I don't know. But, I mean, DC looks like they're slowly gearing up for what could be a Justice League.
That would be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I would be interested to see that. I think I've told you before, I'm not the world's biggest comic fan, but when they start doing these big blockbusters like that, it gets me pretty interested.
Yeah, well, I'm on board because I really enjoyed this treatment of Superman. I can see why some people are concerned because, as my friend Adam Huber pointed out on Twitter, there seems to be this big nerd divide. It's not like some people sort of like the Man of Steel. It's like they either like it or they hate it. It crosses a line and it just draws it in the sand and it says, pick a side. Now, I'm on the side of really enjoying this movie, and I'm looking forward to seeing this kind of a take on Batman, because it's grittier. It's not growling and you know, unable to breathe
Thank
through
God.
His nose stuff. I mean, like, it, those movies are great, but there are some specific things that drive me nuts about them. And I'm looking forward to a little bit more of a realistic sort of take on, like, what would happen if, you know, Batman and Superman are suddenly thrown in the same world together. And what I liked about this movie, about Man of Steel, it's not really a quote-unquote Superman movie, because Superman himself is still sorting stuff out. I mean, as with most of this reboot stuff, there's a lot of, like, build-up to, you know, him doing Superman stuff.
Yeah, a lot of internal conflict.
Well, not just kind of sourcing, figuring out who he is, where he's from, what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, like, is the world ready, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I like that it's not perfect. I like that he makes mistakes. I like that, you know, all of this stuff happens. So it makes me curious now, in the second movie, how long has he been doing it? Is it going to be... He's now very comfortable in his role as Superman, and mm-hmm. then Batman is thrown in. Like, I don't think you're going to see, like, you know, amateur hour Superman and, you know, honed skill Batman. I think it's going to be two very elite players in the movie together. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what this kind of production crew might do.
Yeah.
And I'm a sucker for Superman anyway. Like, I mean, I understand I'm biased. Like, I get that I do have a soft spot for the guy in blue, but
yeah. See, I enjoy the idea of all the superheroes and all the comic books and everything. I just, comic books are not my preferred medium for consumption, so I just never really got into it. So I enjoy the stories and I enjoy the characters and all that stuff, but I feel like I'm just kind of behind on all the lore and things and, like, what I'm supposed to be expecting to happen.
Mm.
So I just kind of go into the theater, I'm like, oh, well, this should be a good movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I mean, they've got to play it. I feel like they could almost rip it away from canon. Like, I mean, if you want to make a really good movie, you kind of have to do a little bit of visual fan service for the comic boys, but
yeah,
and girls. But I feel like if you stick too close to the comics, like, there's a reason why they're comics, is because the things that are said in the storylines that are in there are not necessarily the best movies, you know, like, some exceptions. Like, I would watch Kingdom Come as a film in a heartbeat. I would, you know, there's not a lot of other stories that I would really, really follow through with. And that's, they did that in Man of Steel. There's a not a dream sequence, but there's an interrogation sequence between Zod and Superman. And there's some imagery there that's taken directly from the comics.
Okay.
Yeah. And it makes sense. I mean, they used it properly, and it made a lot of sense. So yeah. Joe in the chat room is actually saying that he's thinking that the first half of the Batman Superman movie is gonna be Batman versus Superman, and I think that might actually be what they're gonna call the movie. I hope they come up with something a little bit better, but yeah, I can see there being some back and forth there too. I know that there's been some lines circulating, whether or not it's just meant to, you know, fuel the hype train or not, you know, about Batman having his boot on Clark's neck and, you know, remember who's the man that beat you and stuff like that. I feel like those are lines from either Hush or Frank Miller. I can't remember, but I hope they don't go to Frank Miller, because Frank Miller has no love for Superman. And he's not my favorite comic artist that does a take on Superman. So I don't know. We shall see how things roll out. The other thing that I was watching this week, though, as I was waiting for Jocelyn to get ready, she was taking care of some school stuff before we were watching the movie. I watched the Box Trolls trailer. I forgot to put this in the notes at first, but I found it, or reminded myself when we started talking about Coraline, because the studio that did Coraline has another project on the go. And it's called The Box Trolls. And it looks incredible. I cannot wait for this to come out. Another great film for DVD or Blu-ray. But these guys just do such great work. It's not Madagascar 4. You know, it might be rooted in a children's story somewhere. It's like a children's book. But for the most part, their stuff seems to be pretty original. And I am on board with this Box Troll stuff. I mean, the teaser trailers just kind of center around a little boy that looks like an orphan. And he has Box Trolls as friends. and they all wear boxes. And there there seems to be some really unique kind of takes on the way that they communicate and stuff like that. Like when they're happy, they thump on the boxes and they make like a chest beating gorilla type thing, but it makes a very hollow box sound.
Yeah.
So they wear these boxes like the paper bag princess wore her paper bag. And it looks like a lot of fun, a lot of imagination and stuff like that. And there appears to be troll world and person world. So I'm sure there's some imaginative things that happen in the world of the box trolls. So if you're out looking around on your Apple TV or on iTunes, the Box Trolls trailer is available. And I've got the link to the website in the show notes here as well, too. So
awesome. Yeah, Coraline was an incredible movie.
Oh, my God. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. Me too. So I'm now that you've mentioned this, I'm looking forward to it all of a sudden.
Yeah, no, it's certainly worth checking out. So what have you been listening to? Anything worth mentioning?
I've got this podcast that I've kind of had. It sort of stays on my back burner at all times. It's called Backstory, and it's basically like if you remember, I can't speak for history class in Canada, but in America, it's pretty widely known that in history class they often show these documentaries that are extremely boring, but all the kids are okay with it anyway because it's a day you don't have to do classwork. So it kind of reminds me of those, but now that I'm older and can actually appreciate the information, I actually get a pretty big kick out of it.
Oh, cool.
There's nothing like fun or exciting about it. It's purely informational, but it's one of those podcasts where I will look at the title, look at the description, and I will decide then and there if I'm just going to delete it for the week or listen to it.
Right. So it's topic based. So I mean, if it's a part of American history you're not interested in or you already know a lot about, you're like, meh, I don't really need to.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's very topical. Each week is about an hour of one topic. It's like, one of them was the history of marijuana and why it was legal and then illegal and now it's becoming legal again. And that one was pretty interesting. Yeah, that one's related to a very current event. So that was pretty interesting to listen to. And there was one, that Syrian thing that happened a while back.
Mm-hmm.
There was one episode where they talked about the history of that conflict and how it came to be and things like that. So there are definitely things worth listening to, but there are some of them that are like the history of toilet paper. I'm like, I don't give a crap. So,
pun intended, right?
Exactly.
So,
it's one of those ones I'd recommend at least subscribing to it, even if you just delete most of them. But every once in a while, one pops up that's really interesting to listen to.
Yeah, I tend to be like that with a few of the podcasts that I listen to. Like, I listen to a lot of illustration based podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, although, I mean, every artist that's interviewed has merit, if the stuff that they do doesn't interest me, or if the person is not as interesting as I was hoping they could be, because, I mean, not everybody is a good interview, I usually skip those. Or if it's like a topic-based show, if they're talking about something that I already know about, or, you know, like it's like the... You know, it's like the 13th or 14th episode I've seen in a row that's about Kickstarters and how to kickstart your comic book. I mean, like, sometimes those are interesting and other times it's like, well, I mean, not that I know everything about it, but I've done it. So I have a general idea and I have no plans on doing a new one anytime soon. So I don't want to listen to this now, forget all of it by the time I actually have to do another Kickstarter and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I tend to skip over those kind of things. It's one of the great things about podcasting is that you can, you know, take a look at the, you know, the show title or the topic and decide whether or not to listen. Unless you're listening to the Citadel Cafe, at which point I throw crazy curveballs into the show titles, some of which have nothing to do with the content. So for that, I apologize. The summary, though, usually has some idea of what's going on in the show. Yeah.
This isn't the kind of show that I would skip anyway. Yeah, I mean, even if I didn't have a bias towards it, because it's people's different opinions on the media they've consumed basically throughout the past week or so, which is always interesting to hear somebody else's point of view on that kind of thing.
Well, I find that there's just so much out there, and I listen to shows like The Sizzle Cafe myself from other people that I find have similar tastes and have the time to dive into other things.
Yeah.
Than I do is that I find that I'm pressed for time. I don't always have a lot of time to watch stuff. If I want to sit down and try something new, I mean, like, I kind of want to know ahead of time from some people that I trust whether it's going to be worth my time, whether they're saying, oh, you should absolutely give this a shot, you know, give it 3 or 4 episodes and then decide,
or definitely.
Whether, you know, they say, you know, it was okay, at which point I might wait until I know I'm bored, you know, like, I know. I don't have anything else I should be doing, and then I'll watch, like, you know, an episode of something that's on my, you know, low to-do list, where, you know, other things, like, for example, last week Lou was talking about Almost Human, and I've got that on high on my list of a new sci-fi show, you know. I find that he usually has a really good taste in sci-fi, and he also has a pretty good radar for crap.
Yeah, so, definitely.
You know, like, I'll give that a chance. And I'm hoping that people have found some new things through the Citadel Cafe as well, but especially since I've been rotating some new guests in. I'd like to think that, you know, with some new voices and new attitudes towards stuff, that we have some new movies and new things. Because unfortunately, when you get into a show that you really like, especially if it's on Netflix, and there's like 4 or 5 seasons of it, that's kind of all you do.
Yeah.
So I become like a one-note pony for a few weeks, you know, on Silk.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I try to always watch at least one new movie a week or something, but a lot of times I'm just like, well, I don't want to talk about The Walking Dead because I'm still watching that, and, you know, like, I mean, everybody is. I mean, that's not going to change until there's a big event, you know, where it's worth mentioning, because, I mean, that after a while just kind of gets dull. I don't want to recap anything. And
they walked down the road for 30 minutes last episode.
Oh, yay. fun. Although I have to say, I'm looking forward to the next season of Game of Thrones. Those TCC episodes I do really enjoy.
Yeah, I need to catch up on Game of Thrones. I'm still behind. I haven't even watched the second season yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's funny because I know all the things that are coming up, because I've finished the last book that I finished on audio was the third book. Ooh. So I know a ton of cool stuff is coming up, and I love the first season. So I'm like, oh, I just got to do it. But every time I think about it, I'm like, I don't think I want to spend $40 right now, because the only way I can watch it is by buying the season.
Buying the season, yeah.
Because I don't even have cable, so HBO is out of the question for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks that they do that. You should, if you decide to buy it, maybe it might be worth it. You might get more out of your money if you go back and listen to the old TCC episodes.
Okay.
Because we did a recap of season one before season two came out. Then we did season two as it came out, and we did season three as it came out. So there's 10 episodes of The Citadel Cafe for every season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, cool.
And,
okay.
Yeah, and I mean, same for anybody else out there that's listening that wants to do that. We get into major spoilers, though, so you can't listen to the show ahead of time.
Right.
We don't spoil the books, but we certainly get as far as what happened in the episode.
Yeah.
That week, certainly. Because we go kind of almost, not play by play, but we go through some major plot points each week. And so you'd have to listen after you've watched the episode.
Yeah. It's crazy how they fit so much content into 42 minutes.
It's crazy how much content George R. R. Martin fits into one book.
Yeah, that's true on its own merit. That's an absolutely insane amount of content. But it's also incredible how they distill it down to the important parts, and it actually works. Like, I'm one of the people who absolutely hates any sort of video representation of something that I've read, but I'm really enjoying the Game of Thrones TV show.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about the last time I saw, I would say The Lord of the Rings would be the last time I was really, you know, without question, enjoying, you know, a video adaptation of a literary work.
Yeah, and that one's funny because I never personally read the books. My dad actually read them to my sister and I when we were very little.
Oh, cool.
So I remembered enjoying them, and I remembered kind of the major plot points, but I didn't really remember what happened in its entirety. So I watched the movies, and I think I enjoyed it separate from the books because of that. But I need to go back and read those. I got so much stuff to do, and it's all pointless content consumption.
It's all just R&R with your Netflix account or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I've got... I'd never read the Harry Potter books, but most of the people that I've talked to seem to think that they were well done.
They were, but that was when I was in my really, really hating movie adaptations phase, and I picked those movies apart.
I feel like they're done, you can't do anything about it now, but I feel like a series like Harry Potter might have been able to do, I don't want to say better, but it might have had more fan service as like an HBO series.
It could have.
You know, like, because, I mean, rather than turning, you know, each book or each half of book of George R.R. Martin's, you know, I guess, you know, omnibus into a 2-hour movie,
mm-hmm.
each book, or and now each half a book, gets 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And 10 hours of content.
Yeah, and that's a huge jump.
It's palatable, too. I mean, like, in an hour-long chunk, it's great.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you kind of wonder whether some people that... some people, complete blank. I have no idea what I was going to say. I'll come back to it.
Hate it when that happens.
Yeah. 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 Oh, well,
you know, I've gotten a new perspective on, movie adaptations of written works though. The way I look at it now is it's more somebody else's interpretation of the story told through a different medium. I find that if I look at it that way, if I go into it with that mindset, I enjoy it a lot more instead of, oh, why did Ron Weasley say this? Harry was supposed to say that. Harry said it in the book. Come on, guys. What are you doing here? Like, instead of nitpicking all those little details like that, I tend to enjoy it more. But I didn't do that when I watched the Harry Potter movies. So I may enjoy them more now if I went back and watched them again.
Yeah. Oh, I know what I was going to say. It kind of makes you wonder whether if you're an author and you have a property up for, you know, rights as a movie or a TV show. I wonder how many people are not gunning for movies right now.
Yeah, that's an interesting question because TV has really blown up the past few years.
Yeah, well, I mean, like if you're doing, like, say, I mean, I don't want to use Twilight as an example, but like, say you're doing the next kind of teen drama superhero novel, whatever that happens to be, instead of turning it into, you know, a couple of movies here and there, you just said, no, I want to be involved and I want to do what The Walking Dead has done, or I want to do what Game of Thrones has done and turn it into a television series on extended cable where you can get the content in it that you want without being censored by, you know, mainstream media stuff. I don't know. If I was in that position as an author, I would probably be leaning on, well, you know where I would go? Netflix. Straight to Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, things like House of Cards, Hemlock Grove. Like, if I was an author of a very popular series that, you know, people were saying, you should make this into, you know, a television show or a movie, I would go straight to Netflix.
I do like all of Netflix's original series that I've watched so far. I just don't know anything about that industry. Like, how much say do you actually have as the creator of the story?
It depends on the rights. It depends on, I mean, it would be no different than someone trying to license, like, my illustration work and stuff like that, or hiring me to be, you know, an illustrator. I mean, some people want my creative input, and some people have a very clear idea of what they want, and they just want me to draw it. And,
okay.
I mean, if you're an author...
Kind of a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, but if you're an author and you are, you know, sometimes you're going to be brought in as, you know, a writing consultant, or that you're going to be involved creatively in the casting. And other times I think that they just kind of buy it from you and that's the end.
Yeah.
You know, it really depends on, I think it depends on how much of a fan the people that are producing the television show are. Like, if the producers are fans of you as an author, hopefully they're going to give you a lot of say and a lot of like, well, how would you bring this to film or television and make it work?
Yeah, like the Warcraft movie, most of the people involved with that have been playing Warcraft for a long time, so...
Yeah, yeah. Have you heard
anything about
that? I don't know, I'm curious about that.
I know what I know from the panel, and they did drop a pretty big hint at the panel, but they weren't able to say much, because they have, the production company, or the publishing company, whoever does whatever, hasn't even started advertising or anything yet, so they're very restricted on what they're allowed to say. But, they said that the story is going to be concern Durotan and, I forget his name, Durotan and somebody else, but basically two of the Orc chieftains from Draenor before, all the Burning Legion stuff happened. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's I'm drawing a blank on all the names and stuff, but it's a very good part of the story to turn into a film. I think it's underrepresented in the games themselves because it happened in the past before any of the games were, you know, created. But you basically have to read the book to get that story otherwise. So
it's interesting how, you know, like they're looks like they're going to be telling a story that they've not really told yet.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's curious, because I mean, you would think that a lot of producers would want to try to get people into the seats for fan service, like they want to see Grosh on screen, you know, yeah. like that kind yeah. of stuff, or Arthas, you know, like just that kind of thing.
Yeah, and those characters may very well show up just in a younger form than we're used to.
Yeah, that's true. So. Yeah, there's a lot of time travel in Warcraft that I forget about too.
Yeah, well, there can be. It gets a little murky sometimes, but that's kind of the nature of a video game series. They kind of have to retcon here and there, and you know, kind of time travel is like one of the default mechanics to go to when you need to tell a very important story, but you're not sure how to get there from the past.
yeah, absolutely.
Mike in the chat room just said they announced the casting for the Warcraft movie today.
Ooh, very, very cool. Mike asked me a question earlier too, and that was, have I started to watch Doctor Who, which is his duty to remind me. And yes, I have, just one episode. So I will watch more and report back later when I have more of an opinion.
Baby steps.
Yeah. 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 Cause I was told that you have to give it kind of like a fighting chance. So I shall continue to see where, the Doctor will lead me. But I have a lot of friends that I respect that are big fans. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll see where it goes.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so far it was fun, but we'll see. I reserve judgment. What have you been checking out for your internet pick these days, man? Anything to recommend?
I just put a little YouTube video on here. It's it cracks me up. I you've probably heard Amazon has this new Amazon Prime Air, I think they call it,
mm-hmm.
where basically if it's available in your area, you can order something, and I'm assuming you pay a buttload for this service, where they will deliver it to your house within an hour of you ordering it, because they have this drone fly it to you, as long as it's less than 5 pounds or whatever. So that's really cool. From like the geek in me is like, oh my gosh, yes, this is amazing. But the practical side of me is like, all right, so how long is it going to take before somebody orders something, sends it to their neighbor's house down the street, and then just smashes it out of the air so they can keep it for themselves? You know, like,
wow.
It's such a cool idea, but it seems like such a nightmare logistically.
I mean, how long is it until some terrorist hacks Amazon and bombs the neighborhood?
Oh, jeez.
Like, this is bad waiting to happen. I mean, I'm watching the video right now with the mute on. And it drops a little package on the front door, and then it takes off. And if you weren't looking, you didn't know it was there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Although,
I mean,
if I ordered something, I'd want to know when it's coming, because I would want to watch it.
That'd be so much fun. I mean, it's a cute little video. It's fun to watch regardless.
Is it a prank? Like, is it real?
I think it's real. I've heard rumors about it for a long time. And, you know, everybody, I've seen postings to this video everywhere, and people seem to think that it's real. They're just making fun of it.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, I won't go out there and say 100% certainty it's real, because I could be wrong. I haven't looked into it myself, because I'm guaranteed it's not available in Cincinnati from day one.
Yeah. Well, but it's certainly not available in Canada either, I can tell you that. That's a long way from the U.S. But I mean, like, so just so everybody's clear, not Apple, not Microsoft, not Google, not Facebook, Amazon.
Yeah, you know, now that I say that, actually, somebody on my Twitter feed actually ordered something, I'm pretty sure. Like, they were saying, oh, let's test this out, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's real.
Yep.
Just, like I said, seems awesome, but it just sounds crazy to me.
You know,
like,
who they should hire for their spokesperson is Arnold Schwarzenegger. That would be amazing.
That'd be fantastic.
Oh,
your
man.
Package comes from the air.
Nice. Oh, man. Just Terminator and Skynet jokes everywhere all the time. Oh, man. Well, my picks this week are actually surprisingly from BuzzFeed. I do not normally go to BuzzFeed. It litters my Facebook newsfeed. However, there's been some geeky posts this week that I thought were really, really cool. The first is arguably cooler than the second, but I will parlay both to you. Right now, the first is a series of 10 Star Wars Episode 7 fan-made posters that are actually out of this world, according to BuzzFeed. Not all of them are amazing, but several of them are very cool, and kind of have me stoked for what could be a very good episode 7. Like, just, you know.
Oh, wow.
It's just looking at these posters. They're pretty professionally made, if I can talk.
Very well done.
You know, they just kind of have this mood of like, man, if you know, if fans can come up with this stuff, then hopefully, you know, the producers and the people involved can come up with this stuff. You know, J.J. Abrams is a pretty cool guy. Like, hopefully, you know, there's this kind of fandom, you know, going into this stuff. And I think one of the reasons we're seeing such really cool movies and really cool adaptations of stuff in Hollywood, with, say, like the Avengers and the Batman films and stuff like that, is like these people that are directing these and producing these are in their 30s and 40s, which means they grew up in the 80s loving all of this stuff. And so they're fans, you know, and now they've got the means and the money to make this stuff amazing. So check out these 10 Star Wars posters and let us know what you think, because I think they're pretty cool.
Yeah, I really like that they've kind of brought... You said these are fan art?
Yeah.
I like the fact that they kind of bring that kind of style that's become common in the 2010s for movies, where it's a real simple poster with, you know, one major character or a major object and just like one or two words,
mm-hmm.
and says coming soon or something like that. I really like that whole aesthetic.
Yeah.
It makes it feel a lot more current. Gives me hope for the movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of like war aftermath. There's a lot of, you know... evil never ends, just evolves. That sort of stuff. The Force will rise again. It's kind of a dumb slogan, but the poster of that one, which is number 8, which is just a guy holding a lightsaber, is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see where they might go with this. The other BuzzFeed link is a collection of other BuzzFeed links, as a matter of fact, but they're all worth checking out. It's the 2013 Best of Disney Princess fan art stuff. And it's everything from some artist drew beards on all the princesses. Some artist took their eyes and shrank them and made them look funny. Dressed Up for Halloween is a really good one. Rapunzel as Sailor Moon. I feel like, Mulan was dressed up as somebody for Halloween too, and I can't remember who it was. There's a lot of different stuff. Another one is the a gender flip, where they take the princesses from Disney and dress them in the costumes of their male love interests in the movies.
Oh,
which is very cool. You know, like you've got Belle in like the blue and yellow suit that the Beast would wear, and you've got Ariel is in like the sailor type outfit that I don't remember Ariel's Eric. Sure. So Eric, you know, his costume, stuff like that. But I think my favorite is, and the most, I guess, elaborate, is the one where someone took them and put them into period accurate costumes. So if it was from Hercules, it was like, you know, a dress and a toga, you know, period, you know, Greek and Roman, you know, history.
That's cool.
The Tiana, the Princess and the Frog, she's got like a, you know, a 1940s kind of flapper dress on. Mulan, of course, has got like a authentic kimono and sword and stuff. The level of detail in these drawings is really, really cool. Somebody is gone through a lot of trouble to make them pretty historically accurate. So that's, I think the period costumes is probably my favorite, even though the Halloween one is really fun. The period stuff is really, really cool. So
yeah, I love stuff like this. It's always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That is the end of this episode of the Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on joelduggan.com/live. Music for the show was composed by Kevin McLeod, and the podcast is, of course, available on demand via iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com. That's also where I post the show notes. You can drop us a line, thecitadelcafe@gmail.com, thecitadelcafe on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. And of course, don't forget about our holiday episode coming up on Wednesday, December 18th. Email me or get in touch with the show somehow and let me know if you are a listener and you'd like to stop by, or a host that has been on and would like to stop by. More than happy to have you. I think it's going to be fun. The Gamers Inn are friends of ours, and they record their podcast on Friday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on amove.tv. If you're a gamer, tune in to Jocelyn and Ryan as they break down their opinions of the latest gaming news and what they're playing. Visit gamersinpodcast.com or amove.tv/TGI for details. As I mentioned at the top of the show, my name is Joel Duggan, and you can find everything that I am doing online at joelduggan.com, including my book, Starcrossed Volume 1, and that is available in my web store. You can find me on Twitter and Google Plus with just my name. Joel, where can people find you online?
I am at Robut on Twitter, R-O-B-U-T, not I-T. I get some confusion with that sometimes. But yeah, it's U-T. Anyway, I'm still working on those videos I mentioned before. I'm just having so many codec headaches, and I'm trying to learn Premiere.
Video is
hard.
Coming. Yeah, video is hard. I agree.
I'm finding that. I've done audio editing before, so I'm like, just a couple hours, I'll whip it out, no big deal. Oh, the learning curve is much steeper.
Video is a different beast.
Yeah, so they're still coming for anybody who's waiting on those.
If you're looking to get something out quickly, if you're not doing anything overly complicated, and you've got access to a Mac now, right?
Yes.
Try iMovie.
iMovie. Okay, that's just to mess around.
Just to kind of mess around with it, just to see if you can get something together.
Okay.
I found that the learning curve going into Premiere was a little easier once you get the hang of iMovie.
Okay.
If you're brand new to video editing, iMovie is very friendly.
Yeah, I'll try that out. One of my problems, though, was that the codec that Fraps uses to record video game footage is no longer being developed on Mac.
Oh, geez.
There's a version that was available, but it was a couple years old, and I didn't feel like dealing with that. So I moved over to Windows for Premiere, but now I'm trying to learn Premiere, which is way harder than I thought.
Yeah.
But
yeah. There are some videos out there. I mean, you could always look up some how to do stuff on YouTube. I find that those are usually pretty helpful.
I think there's like a learning channel on Adobe.com or something. Yeah. I just haven't had time to just sit down and watch videos to learn how to make videos.
Yeah, well, there's that. So. You could try Skillshare.com too. I mean, the courses there range, between $20 and $50, but they're, lifetime access. You can repeat them as often as you want, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I haven't looked for anything beyond illustration related things, but I do know that they have like everything from coding, website design, graphic design, illustration, painting. So, I mean, I'm sure that that Skillshare.com would have something on the Photoshop, Adobe suite.
Yeah, Premiere Pro.
Premiere Pro. What else is in there? Flash, InDesign. Like, there's all kinds of programs in that creative suite that are getting a lot of attention these days. So I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, by the way, those videos. In case you didn't know, they're just real quick. I'm recording footage of all the raids in the game World of Warcraft, starting kind of from the beginning in vanilla and move my way through the different expansions and talking about the lore and the reasons why those bosses are actually people that you were supposed to kill back in the day and currently. So those will, once I get the hang of Premiere, I intend to get one out a week, roughly.
Cool.
But, in the meantime, I'm kind of learning, so it's taking much longer than I thought, and I apologize for anybody waiting on those, but they are coming. So
just tweet them. Just bug them.
Oh, yeah. I will definitely be tweeting those out.
Poke them in the ribs. Tell me has an awesome Twitter handle, and then poke them in the other rib and say, where's my video?
Yeah. The more you bug me, the more motivated I will be, too, so do that.
R-O-B-U-T. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two. Thanks, chat room. Really fun and active. And now I get to poke fun at Mike. Do you remember earlier in the show when I lost my train of thought? It's because Mike was messaging me, and I forgot to turn off my notifications in Colloquy. So there was two beeps. First, he said my name, and it beeped at me. And then you, Joel, said, who, me, Joel? And of course, because you said Joel, it beeped at me again. So I was trying to get my thought out, and Colloquy was flashing at me and dinging, and I was like, what? What is going on?
Anyway. The chat room's been a lot more active the last few times I've been on. I'm kind of trying to get the hang of reading and talking at the same time. It's a lot more difficult than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I have to wait until you're talking and the guest is talking before I can catch up a little bit on the chat room. I find it very, very difficult. I'm like that bug from Bug's Life. It's like, no, Larry, don't look at the light. I can't help it.
Yeah. And then the other thing is even if you're talking and I'm reading the chat room, like maybe you ask me a question and then I'm like, oh, wait, but I was reading what this guy was saying. I don't know what you just asked me.
Yeah.
So I have to like take that half second to go back through my mind and replay. What did Joel say? Okay. Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.